Let me ask you to open your Bibles first to Luke chapter 24, the last chapter of the book of Luke. Perhaps we're more familiar with the Great Commission that we have at the end of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 28. But here is the account in Luke, and I'm going to read from verse 45. Luke 24, verse 45. Then he, our Lord, opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Beginning from Jerusalem, you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." Notice this. To all nations, witnesses, power from on high. And then in Acts chapter 1, over a few pages to Acts, you have Luke, Matthew, now Acts, Acts chapter 1. Verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Notice the similarity with the passage in Luke. Witnesses, power, power from on high. Now, what is the mission? What is the mission that Jesus gives us? Well, it's very clear, isn't it, in Luke chapter 24, verse 47. Look at it with me. "And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations." The command to the followers of Jesus, if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus as I do, that many of us do, is to take this message to all nations. That is the love of God, and the gospel embraces all the world. And this great commission comes from the risen Christ. Christ has died, he's been buried, he's been raised from the dead. And before he ascends, he gathers his disciples here in Luke chapter 24 and commissions them to go to all the world. He has all authority. He's the Lord of the universe. He's the risen Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to him. There is no name higher. There is no one greater. There is no one more important. He is God, the Lord of the universe, the Creator, the Redeemer, the God that each one of us will stand before. And the Lord Jesus, who saves us, now commands us to go and do what? To proclaim in his name repentance for the forgiveness of sins. What is the mission? What's to be the priorities of the church? Political activism, social justice, economic fairness, prosperity and success. Is that the priority? No, listen to what Jesus says. "And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in the name, in his name, to all nations." Our greatest need, whether we live here in relative comfort in Charlotte, or whether we're living in a remote tribe in Indonesia or Africa, the priority, the greatest need that we have is the forgiveness of our sins. Philip mentioned that, the wonder when he came to Christ, that all of his sins are cleansed. Every single person on the face of the earth has fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is true of you and is true of me. It's true of every single boy and girl and man and woman throughout the world. And as we go, yes, we believe in social justice. Yes, we believe in clean water. Yes, we believe in medicine and education and all of the rest. But our priority is a spiritual priority. It is a recognition that people are in spiritual bondage, held in bondage by our enemy, held in bondage by their own sinful choices, that people are alienated from God, that they have wandered from God, that they have broken His commandments, that they're doing things their own way. And so Christ commands us to go and to do this, to preach in His name repentance for the forgiveness of sins. I often think as we break bread here at Calvary, the incredible privilege of forgiveness. It's so powerful, isn't it? Many people live with guilt and shame and regret. And they think, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I could get a new beginning. I wish I could start all over again. And then the wonder of the gospel, that's the offer, isn't it? New creations in Christ. But it begins and must begin with a recognition that we have sinned before a holy God. We thought in our study of Matthew, as John the Baptist came, his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when our Lord begins his public ministry, his message is the same, repent and believe in the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand, that God has come in Jesus Christ. And there is the kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of light. There's no in between. We're either in the kingdom of light, with our sins forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ, or we're still in the kingdom of darkness, held in bondage. Oh, that doesn't mean that we're living necessarily terrible lives, as it were. But before God, we've come short. And our selfishness and our pride and our desire to put ourselves at the center of a universe has broken our communion with God. And so the Lord, to this small group of followers, makes this incredible statement, go and preach in my name repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Where is that forgiveness found? Only at the cross. I love that story, and to see the cross, and to see people responding to the cross. We have a cross right on in our ceiling to remind us that all of us are equal under the cross of Christ, and that only there is salvation, that neither is there salvation in anyone else, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My dear friend, you will never be saved. You will never have your sins forgiven unless you repent of your sin and call out to Jesus Christ to forgive you. And if you do that, something miraculous happens. You're totally cleansed. God remembers your sins no more. And you receive as a gift of His grace eternal life. And the very Spirit of God will indwell you. Now think of that mission. Think of it given to that small group of people. It seemed impossible, didn't it? The mission, secondly, the power. I love Acts 1, verse 8. What does our Lord say to the disciples? You will receive what? Power. Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. How were these disciples able to do this? Starting in their town, the very center of Judaism in Jerusalem, and to bring this message to Judea and to Samaria, and then to the very end of the earth. How could they possibly do that? That's what the book of Acts tells us, doesn't it? As the gospel goes out in widening circles, from Jew to Gentile, from Jerusalem, the religious center, to Rome, the secular center, so that the known world, the Roman Empire, with all of its might, with all of its gods, is impacted by the kingdom of light, bringing salvation and repentance of sin, so that it goes to the very heart of the empire, to Rome itself, as these men and women, filled with the power of the Spirit, filled with this power from on high, are changed. How could they do it themselves? A little group. You say, well, these were apostles. Have you ever read the Gospels? They were very ordinary people. They messed up. They were fishermen, a tax collector, a zealot. Nothing special in themselves. What was special? Great resources? No, not great resources. Impressive resumes? Not at all. How could they implement the mission? How could they do what Christ is commanding them to do, to take this message into a hostile territory, into legalistic Judaism, to confront the gods and the idolatry of the Greek and Roman pantheon? How could they do it so that the gospel in the space of a few years spread like wildfire throughout the known world? What was the answer? Impressive people? No. It was the power of Almighty God. Acts is rightly called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The expansion of the gospel to all people, God's love, God's truth, embracing the whole world. Was it easy for them? Absolutely not. Some of them were killed, stoned, imprisoned, ridiculed. The average believer had to leave their home, scattered. And yet God, in his wonderful purposes, used the persecution of the early church to spread his glorious message so that wherever they went, they declared that Jesus saves. That in our Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, there is salvation. You see, this mission of embracing the whole world, someone might cynically say, you know, who is Calvary Church to talk about embracing the whole world? That's a little grandiose. I understand the sentiment. I feel that. No, by ourselves, we're just ordinary people here at Calvary Church. Nothing special in and of ourselves, but we do take seriously the command. I trust we do. And we do understand, I trust we do, as humble followers of Jesus Christ, with our inadequacies, with our failures and our stumblings, we take seriously this, that when God calls us, he gives us all of the power, all of the strength, all of the resources to do his will. I've experienced that in my own life. When you step out with God, when you put God first, when you come with your inadequacy, God will give you, have we heard the stories from missionaries? God gives you the wisdom, the power, the strength as you embrace the whole world for Jesus Christ. What am I saying? This divine mission is only accomplished with divine power, embracing the whole world. Humility and prayer are absolutely key as we understand, as the early disciples understood, that this mission will never be accomplished unless God graciously gives you the power and the strength to do it. The mission, the power, the impact. What was the impact? That's the story of Acts, isn't it? Salvation of souls. Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, this man who just a few days earlier who denied the Lord, but he's a changed man. He's filled with the Spirit. He preaches the gospel, 3,000 souls saved, and there's a growing church. What was Peter's technique? He didn't have a technique. He didn't give his own ideas. He's not bound by Judaism. His preaching is grounded in and flows from Scripture. It is Christ-centered. Listen to him in Acts 2, verse 23. This Jesus, Who's he preaching to? People who put the Messiah on the cross. He's in downtown Jerusalem. And he's fearless, he's bold. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the bands of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Here is Peter. He's preaching Jesus. He's preaching the cross. This Jesus that you crucified, he's delivered up according to the purposes, the eternal purposes of God. And not only did you kill him, God raised him from the dead. Death itself could not hold this man, Jesus Christ. Peter is a witness. He'd seen the risen Christ. He realized that God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, and that he is exalted on high, and that he himself had commissioned Peter and the other apostles to go now and preach forgiveness of sins to all the nations. And he's beginning, as he's commanded to do, in Jerusalem. He's not going to stay in Jerusalem. He's going to speak to Cornelius. He's going to be one of the great preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had seen the risen Christ. He'd received the power of the Holy Spirit. He'd heard the call of God, and now he's fearless. He's a witness to what he'd seen and heard. And although there is hostile opposition, he says, I don't care. He's a proclaimer of the message of the gospel. And so it spreads. It spreads like wildfire throughout the Roman Empire. We have to ask now, I have to ask myself, you have to ask yourself, what is my response? I've been at a lot of missions conferences over the years. I have to say, I think this is one of the best ones. We've sensed right from the beginning that the Spirit of God is at work. Partnering with missionaries. Many of our missionaries not here, of course, some of them brought for the conference. Bringing people of all cultures, some remote tribes, some in the city, some marginalized people, ministering to refugees, ministering in the heart of London, ministering in remote islands in Indonesia, ministering to cultures that few of any of us can relate to, but all going with this message. Embracing the whole world. One of the themes that we have for Calvary in 2020 is share our faith. I've challenged you to do that. I challenge you today to share your faith. What is your response? Take a look at this card there. Here are some things that may motivate us, may get our attention as we look at this card. You say, well, John, I have some reservations. I have some fears. I feel I'm not quite ready. I'm glad you feel that. I'm glad you feel you're not quite ready. But let me tell you something. If you wait to obey God until you feel you're ready, you'll sit in these pews and you'll sit in these pews and you won't obey God. Of course you're not ready. Of course you feel inadequate. Of course you have fears. Of course you have questions. This is why we need divine power. I spoke to a man at the beginning of this morning as he came and shared how he first came to Calvary just after I came. And he quoted to me this morning Galatians 2:20. And I said to him, Richard, isn't it wonderful to know that Christ lives in you? He said, I can't get over it. I can't get over it. The living Christ in me. I speak to people who say, John, I want to serve the Lord, but I'm not quite ready. I've got to do this. I've, I've got to get my family organized. I've got to get my career ready. I've got to graduate. I've got to get my house in order. And I understand it. But you know, when God calls you, He wants a response now, today. The devil always says, wait till tomorrow. If you're here without Christ, the devil is saying, well, get right with God tomorrow. The Bible says, no, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, don't delay, respond. Supernatural power. Embrace the whole world. Embrace the mission and ask God humbly to give you the power and the help to do it. See, God has promised to give us all of the strength, all of the help you need for His task. In life, you can do many things. You've got many choices. You can spend all of your time doing many, many things. But when you put God first, when you decide to do the will of God and surrender to the will of God, you have this assurance that God will help you, that God will guide you step by step. Faith in God, trusting God, dispels the fears. And there's all the difference between living a life surrendered to Jesus Christ than living a life of cultural Christianity, mediocrity, and regret. My challenge for you today is personal. Embrace the whole world. Look at the card. Believing that God has spoken to me about serving Him, I make the following commitment to be available for. Can you begin completing this card? Career Mission Service. You were moved, as I was, by our children and students singing. Perhaps children is one of you. Perhaps a boy of 12. Perhaps a girl of 17 who says, this is what God wants me to do. Perhaps there's a couple and you've been thinking about this and you've been praying about it. Will you take the step? Short-term mission service, 6 months to 2 years. We have many here who are retired and you can do that. There's some of you who are between an assignment. Perhaps you're waiting to go to college and you can do this. International go trips, one of the blessings at Calvary, that we send people overseas on these go trips. Some of you have never been. Neighborhood, apartment, and workplace outreach. Think of all of the thousands and thousands of people in our growing city, just a few miles from where we are today. The majority of them without Christ. No, you don't need to go to a remote island to tell people about Jesus Christ or about your workplace. We will help you. We will train you. Pray with you. Good news clubs. We are having more and more opportunities in our schools, yes, public schools, to tell boys and girls about Jesus Christ. Thank you for so many of you who are doing this in this growing ministry. Calvary Cricket Outreach. You see, I don't know what cricket is. It's time you did. Yes, we reach out particularly to our Indian and Pakistani communities, but others. And we began, whoa, that was good, wasn't it? We began this summer, Hindus, Muslims coming on our ground here at Calvary to play cricket. Jail and prison ministry. Many, many opportunities in the jails here in Charlotte, in the prisons, particularly in South Carolina, praying. You've seen our missionaries. Don't you want to continue to pray for them? Every month you will get, as I get, a list of their prayer requests. Other CHAMP coaches, street ministry, others that Lord would put on your heart. I'm asking you now to complete that form. We're privileged at Calvary to have many, many open doors. Will you bow with me as we pray? And take this card, and we're going to sing a wonderful hymn. And as we do that, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat. Yes, I'm going to make it difficult for you. Some of you are right up in the balcony. You can begin to walk down. We've got the stairs right in the middle of the sanctuary. And put these cards on front. Father, we thank you for your call in our lives to embrace the whole world. I thank you for that. We thank you that your love embraces each person, that you so loved the world that you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. May many today be placing their faith in Christ, and may each of us respond with humility, and that many will say, I will embrace my world and respond. We began last week at this time by asking for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. When we hear his voice, help us to humbly obey. In Christ's name, amen.